Man, you would not believe I've got this centipede coming down from the ceiling. I've been shooting at it, and every time I hit it, it breaks up into a million different pieces.
Good heavens. You need to send a giant gorilla after it.
You got to do something. Yeah, it's just getting out of control.
Yeah. Well, that crazy man is George Chapel. And I am Keith Stone. This is George and Keith's Musings, our podcast. We talk about pop culture and things we like. And what we're talking about today is not very recent culture, but it definitely is things that we like.
Absolutely.
If you are under 40 years old, you might want to consider turning it back to your Jimmy Buffett station or something, because you might not understand a lot of what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But that's your loss. But anybody our age will certainly be able to appreciate it. We're going to talk about arcade games. And I don't mean video games. We're not talking about anything you can play on your Nintendo at home.
It's not, PlayStation, no.
No, these are the standalone arcade games that used to populate, you know, everywhere in the 70s and the 80s.
Yep.
And George and I, unfortunately, lived on the north end of campus at Central, and we were really close to a place called the Malt Shop.
Yes,
and they were loaded with video games. We spent way too many quarters there, huh, George?
We sure did, and it was and back then a quarter, man, it wasn't too cheap. Those quarters came dearly, but it still didn't stop us from going down there and playing many games.
Yeah, I was either doing laundry or playing arcade games, so I wore a lot of dirty shirts, I'll tell you that.
Without a doubt.
Okay, you go first, George. What's your number 10 all-time favorite standalone arcade game?
Okay, here's a game that I only ever saw this game in one arcade, and it was the arcade at Westland Mall in Jackson. I spent a lot of summers playing this game with my old buddy Mike Kosh, and it was a game called Scramble. And what Scramble was a left to right game where you'd fly this spaceship through a cave, and you'd drop bombs on things and shoot lasers at things. And basically, you just try and get through the cave as best you can. You know, of course, there's other, you know, the evil guys are shooting at you. And the way Mike and I would do it is that I would always fly the thing, and he would like shoot and drop the bombs. And we got to actually where we were pretty good at it. And it was a really fun game. But like I said, I only ever saw it at that one place. I'd never saw it at the Malt Shop, so I don't even know if you would. Are aware of this game or not, but it was a lot of fun. Mikey and I, we spent a lot of our summers playing that game.
Now, were you playing this like in the late 70s during high school?
This was actually probably like summers during college. So probably like summer of 82, Mike and I played this game a lot.
No, I've never heard of it. I thought Malt Shop had everything come through there.
It had everything except for Scramble. I don't even know why it was called Scramble. Scramble didn't have anything to do with really the nature of the game.
Well, you scramble fighters maybe once in a while, maybe.
Yeah, pretty much. You kind of like scramble your way through these two-dimensional caves. But pretty good game, though.
Okay, George. Well, there was two parts to my arcade life. The one that you're familiar with when we were up at school during the early 80s. But when I was a kid, I made my parents, we spent a lot of time in arcades then too. So I had that pre-life. And two of the games that I played like pre-Central Michigan are on my list. And the first of those is number 10. And there's a game called Seawolf. And
All right.
It was, you were a submarine commander, and you would look through a periscope, and you could see boats going across your screen. You know, bigger ones went slow, and they were worth less points. And the smaller ones went fast and were worth more points. And your job was to send out the torpedoes and make sure you led enough, and you would sink the boats.
I do remember that. That was a fun game.
It was. I remember I played that all the time. I think there was even a time, well, it came out in 78, so I don't think I ever had to stand on like a stool to play it, but they would have them around for like littler kids to play them.
And it teaches you how to like send, you know, cargo ships or cruise ships to the bottom and, you know, and kill lots of people.
Exactly. Well, yeah. It teaches you to lead, you know, you got a little geometry.
It's a great, yeah, if you're like a quarterback and you're trying to hit someone on a crossing pattern, right? If you played a lot of Seawolf, you'd probably be a better quarterback.
There you go. There you go. What's your number nine?
Okay. I also want to kind of preface this entire list by saying, you know, I wasn't really good at any of these games. I think, you know, I spent a lot of quarters and probably didn't get nearly as much playing time as a lot of people, but they were still a lot of fun. This game is definitely would fall under that category. If Gretsch was doing this list, this would easily be her number one. I've got it number nine, and it's a game you may remember at the malt ship called Spy Hunter. And Spy Hunter, you basically had this James Bond type car, and it had, and when you start the game, it had machine guns on it. So you're driving down the road, and you see all the bad guys in front of you. You have to shoot them with the machine guns, but you don't want to shoot just like the regular civilians. But you can take the bad guys out by shooting them, or you could kind of like pull up alongside them and like knock them into the you know, off the bridge or into the embankment. And then I think you could go get you got rockets and like oil slicks, and you can make the bad guys slip and wipe out that way. And then if you got far, you can go into like these special weapons trucks that would come by, and you could drive your car into the weapons truck, and then you'd become, well, I think you could pick up extra weapons, and then you could also, I think, become like a helicopter or a jet or a boat or like all sorts of different things. So the game had a lot to it, and you got to shoot bad guys. So Spy Hunter is my good number nine.
I have no recollection of Spy Hunter.
You don't remember Spy Hunter?
Nope.
It had the theme to the Peter Gunn theme. You know, you start playing to go bum 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 bum.
Yeah, okay.
Bow.
Hey, I believe you. I believe you. I'm just it's not registering. So
wow.
I really
Spy Hunter.
I really need to apologize to Gretchen, I guess.
Okay.
My number nine is probably surprising that it's this low on my list, because it is the quintessential video game. If I told you, like, what would be the most popular video game of all time, George, what would you say?
It's Pac-Man.
It is Pac-Man.
Okay.
Yep. And I'll lump Miss Pac-Man in there together. I liked Pac-Man. I mean, that's where I pumped a lot of quarters in that. It introduced me to a lot of those games. And it was always a challenge. You know, you would try and clear a screen. Everybody knows what Pac-Man is. But you wanted to see how many screens you could clear. And that was the big challenge. And knowing how to use those side exits, you know, kind of slowed down the ghosts. That was important. But, so Pac-Man is number nine for me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'll reserve comment on Pac-Man until a little later. How's that?
I figured.
Okay. Okay. So my number eight, you have to remember this one. This was a really kind of fun game. It took place in just this kind of a real, had a bizarre old world kind of screen to it, but it was Q-Bert. And Q-Bert was just this goofy looking guy with a funny nose. They would like hop on squares, and basically you'd have to hop on all these squares in this kind of like a three-dimensional layout, and change all the colors from everything from one color to another solid color. And as soon as you could do that, then you'd clear the level. And then as you get further, then other things would like come and try and knock you off, like a snake would come along, or you'd have to like change the colors like two or three times to clear the level. So each level got increasingly harder. But it was just a fun little game that had some mathematical reasoning to it. So I do remember
Qbert. It was not on my list, but it was like there were no borders, so it was possible for you to jump right off the game board to your death. I remember that.
Yeah. Yep, I did that many times.
Yep. Okay, so my number eight is a game you mentioned right off the top, and that is Centipede. Yep. That's Sarah's favorite all-time game. And so you'd start out easy, and it had these mushrooms that would kind of protect you, and you could shoot them. You're shooting the centipedes that are coming down, and they're working on their way down from the top. But like those mushrooms would sometimes be bad because that would cause the centipede to come down another level, and they would keep coming at you.
Yep.
And then like a fly or a spider or something would drop out of the sky, and you would have to shoot those. And it was the same thing, clear a level and then move on to the next one. But what would happen is as you moved up, more and more mushrooms would appear, making the centipede, come lower down on the board.
Yeah, come down faster.
Faster and faster. Yep. That was a good one. I think was there a part two to Centipede? Did like Millipede come out? Was a little bit different?
There was a Millipede too. I don't remember how it was different. Except that it was a millipede instead of a centipede. I don't know too much about it.
That was like Miss Pac-Man to Pac-Man, I guess.
Yeah. I've got some more comments on Centipede later. How about that?
Okay.
My number seven takes us to back to outer space. Scramble was kind of an outer space game. This is another one, and it's Galaga. And Galaga was kind of like from the Space Invaders family. I have Space Invaders in my honorable mention just because it was so groundbreaking. But Galaga was kind of Space Invaders like, in that there was like this whole army of aliens up above you, and you had to shoot them before they would come down and take you out. But what made this game a little different is that some of the aliens would like peel off, and then they'd come down and dive bomb you. And drop bombs on you. You have to shoot them before they could take you out. And then I think there was like a couple different ships. One ship would come down and like try to like capture you in its tractor beam. And if you did that, then you could shoot that one. And then you get like a double spaceship.
Yes.
And when you get the double spaceships, were awesome because then you could really take a bunch out. So Galaga had a lot to it. It was fun, and I was awful at it, but still a lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. And I'll talk about that later.
Okay.
There's one piece that you left off, so that's good.
Excellent.
But Galaga's much higher on my list.
Plus, it also sounds like a watermelon smashing comedian. So it's got that, too.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was often confused for that. I thought I put a quarter in here, some jokes, but never did.
Never did.
Okay, number seven, a favorite of George Costanza's, is Frogger.
Yes.
Okay. Now, that was a frog that had to cross like four lanes of traffic, and then it had to hop over logs and maybe some alligators, and every once in a while the alligators would go underneath the water, and so that left you without anything that hang on to. And so the object was to get, from the bottom of the screen to the top, avoiding everything, using some of the logs to help. You could go forward and backward if it wasn't timing out for you. But that was a great game. That was one of my favorites. And it was the same thing, like all these games, progress to the next screen where it's harder. And just see how far you can go.
Yeah, You're like ticking off all of my top games here. So, but yeah, bonus points for the Seinfeld reference.
Yeah, I'll let you cover that in detail when we get to your Frogger.
Sure. Okay. My number six. You also mentioned at the top of the show here, but it's Donkey Kong. And Donkey Kong was introduced the world to the Mario Brothers. I think it was first time they showed up. Where there was this big gorilla on top of the screen, tossing barrels and things down on you, and Mario had to run up the ladders, grab hammers and smash barrels and hop over barrels, and of course every time he got up to the top level, the Donkey Kong would grab the girl and climb off the screen. So again, it's another one of those games I was never good enough at to actually ever catch the gorilla.
I love Donkey Kong a lot more than you do, so we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Okay, my number six, you mentioned that's on your honorable mention list, so I'm not stealing one of yours.
Right.
And it's one of the early games that came out in 78, and that was good old Space Invaders.
Yep.
Pretty nowadays, extremely boring concept, but you had a moving gun, I guess you'd call it, or spaceship, whatever you want to call it, at the bottom, and you had some protection from like these four like blocks, and the aliens would march back and forth, and they would shoot at you, and they would chip away at your protection. Someone would fall in between where the protection was, so you had to watch. And as the game went on, and you had fewer and fewer aliens coming on, they'd go faster and faster.
Yep.
And the music would get more dramatic. It'd be like thump, 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 thump. And they were coming at you. And eventually, if you had one, that guy would be flying. Yeah. And he would wipe out all your protection.
Yep.
And you better hit him, because if he got down to your level, you were dead.
He's taking you out, yeah.
But Space Invaders is got to be in the Hall of Fame of arcade games, because it really is. I can understand you leaving it off your list if you didn't like it, but I mean, it was the king of that whole genre of those video games.
Oh, without a doubt, it was a big step up from another one of my honorable mentions. Asteroids was kind of like the first, major step from Pong, and then Space Invaders kind of like took the baton from Asteroids, and it really did kind of set the stage for a lot of the games to follow. So I have full respect for Space Invaders.
Yep, absolutely, you have to.
Yep. Where are we up to? Number five.
Yep.
Okay. My number five is, I know this was a big one at the malt shop. And who doesn't love a video game about digging and blowing up dinosaurs? And it's Dig Dug. Dig Dug, but I don't really kind of understand the concept of it, but you're basically this guy that kind of like digs himself underground, and you try and get all, there's these like, there's two different bad guys that are trying to get you. One is like this red dude with goggles on, and he just kind of like hops around and tries to like play tag with you. And the other one are these dragons that can set you on fire. So, but you gotta dig your way all through this, I guess it's a garden, and you have this pump, and you gotta stab the bad guys with your pump. And you blow them up, or you can like dig under a rock and make a rock fall on them.
Yeah, now, I don't know if like when you were talking, you kind of cut out, so I don't know if it picked up or not. But the game name of the game is Dig Dug. I never did hear that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Dig Dug. So
the key to that was the dragons. They only blew their fire left or right, so you had to attack them from above or below.
Well, that's the thing. You could attack them from above or below, but if you attacked them horizontally, you'd get double points.
So I did not know that.
Yeah, you get so like if you attacked them from below and blew them up, you get like 100 points. But if you attacked them horizontally, you get 200 points. So there's an incentive to, you know, to risk danger there, to, you know, where they can get you, because you can up your point total.
Nobody ever told me that, George.
Yeah. See, you'd love Dig Dug now.
I would. And yeah. Somehow, like the bad guys could like transport, like these eyes would float through the dirt and like come closer to you or something, right?
Yeah, and then you were in big. Well, because if you were and that would usually happen if you were like just kind of lollygagging around and taking your time, because you could also get like 10 points, I think, for like each little chunk of dirt. So you know you could get points just by digging dirt.
Uh huh.
But if you were just lollygagging around and taking too much time, then yeah, the monsters would kind of get fed up with you, and they transform into these ghost things, and they just come right at you.
And then as you went further on in the game, they wouldn't just die. You'd shoot your pump into them, but it wasn't just like instantaneous death. You had to pump the air or whatever, so it would take a good 3 or 4 seconds to do that. So sometimes if you had two in one little pocket, you had to like get the one, slow him down, blow up the other guy, and then reinsert into the new guy.
Yeah, you have to like, you know, like stun one, and then you go get the other one and then come back. Yeah, it was a kind of a clever little game, but yeah, it was challenging in that way too.
It was very frustrating.
Yeah. Again, I wasn't any good at any of these games, so there.
I think you're selling yourself short, George. You're a tremendous slouch. But anyways, okay, my number five is the oldest on my list, 1976. It was very Pong-like, but it was called Breakout. And same thing, you had all these colored bricks at the top of the screen, and a ball would come down, and you had to hit the ball back up, and when it would hit one of the bricks at the top, it would make it disappear. And you had to break your way through there, and certain bricks would make the ball go faster or maybe make your paddle smaller, or others would slow it down or other make your paddle faster. But the best thing is when you could get, you know, break through on a side and then get send the ball up through that opening.
Yeah.
And then it would just bounce all over the place and you wouldn't have to do anything, and it would knock out all those bricks.
And all the bricks on the far side, they were the ones worth more points, right?
I think I cannot confirm nor deny that.
I thought the closer ones were like, you know, like 5 points. You get on the far side, they're like 20 or 25 point bricks. And then you get to watch it go pop, 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 and just, and yeah, and your point total just goes crazy.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the bricks at the top as opposed to the bottom, right? Not left or right. You're talking about the bricks on the top were worth more. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I remember a left to right breakout game too, but okay, I'm with you. But yeah, the ones on the far side of your paddle were worth. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then when you break that, when the ball would get on the other side, it was awesome. Yeah, because it just go pop, 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 pop.
Yep, and it would pick up speed.
Oh yeah,
it's crazy. All right,
number four.
Yeah.
Number four. Okay, we talked about Frogger. This is where I have it. I think it was the fact that it was the actual title of a Seinfeld episode that kind of like elevated it even more in my status. It was a great Seinfeld episode that was capped off by George actually becoming the Frogger and crossing the street. But yeah, he set the high score at that one restaurant they used to go to. But you know, Frogger, like everything like you said is a great game where you have to try and get across the road or the river or whatever the hell that guy was going across. Yeah, and you can hop on the back of the alligators, but yeah, if you got in front of the alligators, they'd eat you. And yeah, so everything you said plus Seinfeld. So
now we talked about TV dads, and I talked about Murray Goldberg last week, Yep. And you were familiar with that show.
Sure.
And I don't know if you watched yesterday's episode, but Adam had a Frogger t-shirt on.
Oh, no kidding.
So, he did indeed.
So Frogger just makes it into all the sitcoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. My gosh. Okay. Now, number four, you tell me if you ever heard of this game. It came out in 1979. It was just a black and white screen, and it had, very poor graphics, but it was early on in the video game history. It was called Lunar Lander, and
it does sound familiar.
It's just like it sounds. You're driving this little spaceship, and you have a certain amount of gas, and you are trying to land on the moon. And there are some big areas to land, which is less points. And then there's some small areas about as big as your spaceship itself, but they're worth a lot more points. But you had to, so you're moving along, using up your fuel, moving across the screen horizontally, but then eventually you had to find a spot you wanted to land, and you had to change to vertically, but you had to be going at a slow speed to land, because if you're coming in too fast, or if you ran out of gas, your lunar lander would just explode.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right. And I think as you went on, the gravity got heavier, and it was harder to drive. But I don't know if that ever made it to the malt shop. Might have been before its time, but I loved that game, and it was so simple, and just just terrible graphics. But think about it, back then they were pretty good graphics.
Oh yeah, I think I do remember that game, and I think I don't know if I ever landed on the moon or not. I do remember that like the gravity got stronger, I think, as you got closer. And so you had to hit the gas, but if you hit it too much and you just go back out into space,
right?
Yeah, I think I remember that being a pretty frustrating game. It's really hard to do. but yeah, good one.
I like that one.
Yeah. Well, my number three, as we talked about at the beginning, bugs coming down from up above us. It's Centipede, and Centipede. I liked it. It was one of the early games that had the trackball on it, so you can move your little centipede shooter, not just left and right, but go up and down too, based on the trackball.
That's a good point. Yeah, no joystick. Yeah.
Another thing I really liked about Centipede. So many games, the minimum points you would get on something was like 100 points. But with Centipede, you could actually get 1 point. If you destroyed a mushroom, it was 1 point. So you could always get these really odd scores. But I like the fact that, there were things on the board that were actually worth 1 point. And then you had the spiders that would drop down. They were, I don't know, they were like 400 points or something. So
I think they varied depending on the speed that they were dropping.
Yeah, and maybe how like close they got to you. And one of the kind of like Centipede had a thing a little bit like your breakout game. Like, when you get that ball on the other side of the breakout, if you were able to get like the centipede coming down in the channel and you just hit him just right, you could like pick up the whole centipede with just one stream. Just bop, 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 bop.
Yeah, you'd be coming straight down at you, yes. Yeah.
And you just take the whole centipede out right from the start. So But that was a good game. It was also could get frustrating if you hit the centipede like in the middle, then he'd become like two centipedes.
Yes.
And so now you're trying to like shoot two or three centipedes, and as you get further into the game, then they'd start out with like two centipedes coming down, and it was good challenging game.
Very good. I like how I like talking to somebody else about this, because things I forget about the games, you remind me. Like, I forgot about how the old centipede would split on you.
Yeah.
And that would be big trouble.
Yep.
Likewise, you reminded me when you were talking about earlier. My number three is Galaga. And so you were talking earlier, and I forgot how that, like that vortex would suck your spaceship in.
Yep.
And then it would give you the double. And you always wanted to do that. Remember they had those bonus rounds.
Yep.
You wanted to have the double because you wouldn't even have to move and you'd get all the bonus points. You
yep.
just stay right there, the fire away, and you
yep.
get all the bonus points. If you only had the single, it was impossible.
Yeah,
you couldn't do it.
And on those bonus runs, if you got every single one, then you'd get like a bonus 10,000 points just for clearing the whole board. But
yes.
you never do it with a single spaceship.
Never.
So
that's about all we've talked about, Galaga. But I mean, I spent a lot of money on that game. I really enjoyed that game. And even now, you'll see a game like at a Meijer or something where there's like might be four games in one, and
yeah,
Galaga is usually one of them. And I'm always tempted to give it another shot.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Okay, number two, we're getting serious now.
Okay, number two. Number two, you know, most people aren't aware that ostriches can fly. But this one game that we played a lot at the malt shop confirmed all the rumors that ostriches can, in fact, fly. In fact, not only can they fly, but you can sit on them and you can joust with them.
Yeah.
My number two game is Joust. Just such a strange concept that you would have these flying ostriches. And basically, you'd fly around and you have these. And it was a game where you could either play against the machine or you could play against an opponent. If each of you put a quarter in, then you could play against an opponent and you could try and joust each other off of their ostriches. And basically, you'd have a button. And the more you would hit the button, the faster your ostrich would flap its wings, and the faster you would go, and the higher you'd go. But what you had to do is you had to fly in just such a way as that you would kind of sit on top of your opponent and knock him off the ostrich. that was another game that we played a lot. I know Gretchen and I played that a lot at the malt shop as well. So many fond hours playing Joust.
The description is so ridiculous that people should be running to YouTube right now and looking it up. Say, what in the hell is he just talking about?
Flying off.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll have you know that Joust was a Jeopardy answer not more than 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. They talked about I don't even know what the category was, but it was about a video game with ostriches, flying ostriches.
Obviously, it's Joust.
And it was, and the guy got it right.
Nice.
Okay, my number two, you mentioned already, and it's Donkey Kong. And what I loved about Donkey Kong the most was the variety of screens. You know, like a lot of these games we talked about, as you advance the level, it would just be the same screen, but faster. But if you remember on Donkey Kong, like that first one, you're jumping over barrels. You want to get that hammer and smash the barrels that way. But as you would go up, then there was that elevator screen where you had to avoid barrels that the gorilla was throwing down.
Yeah.
And you'd have to jump up on the elevators and hop from elevator to elevator. And then there was probably even others, but then you would go back to a harder one with the barrels. But I think there was more variety to that game. So that's what I appreciated about it.
Yeah. No, you're right. I kind of do remember. Yeah, I remember the elevators and the different screens. And, yeah, we played that one an awful lot. So, good number two.
That's a great one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Georgie, number one, what do you got?
Okay, number one. Well, you had this one well down on your list, and you talked about Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. Now, I have mine specifically reserved for Ms. Pac-Man. Pac-Man was, you know, obviously the first one, and it was a good game, but all the screens were the same, the mazes were the same, and the only thing that really changed was kind of like the speed of the goat. But Ms. Pac-Man, I thought was a better game because, like Donkey Kong, the screens all changed. So you had different mazes that you had to solve. So it was kind of extra challenging that way. Plus, you know, the fruit would come along in Pac-Man. When the fruit would come up, it would just stay like right in the middle of the screen. But in Ms. Pac-Man, the fruit would like bounce around. So you'd have to make a decision. Do you want to go chase the fruit and get those extra bonus points at risk of not being able to finish the maze and getting attacked by the ghosts? Or, you know, or you're going to go after the fruit to maximize your points. But I just found Ms. Pac-Man was a clear upgrade from what, you know, what was already a good game in Pac-Man. But Ms. Pac-Man really just became took it to another level. And so
you get no argument from me.
Yeah.
And the color of the screen changed too.
Yeah.
Like the color of the dots and of the walls, they would change.
Yep.
Now, was the Ms. Pac-Man, were there more dots on the screen than regular Pac-Man? I know they always only the four big dots, but was the Ms. Pac-Man bigger or no?
I don't know if there were more dots. I just know that they were all arranged differently. So it was just different challenges in the maze.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, George, I was a little disappointed. I think you had this ranked, but this was my all-time favorite game. It had the terrible graphics, similar to Lunar Lander, black and white, but Asteroids was my favorite game.
Okay.
And I still love it. And, you know, we described it. It's got the boulders, and you shoot big boulders, and they turn into smaller boulders, and then they would sometimes go faster, and you could manipulate your, you know, you had to control the speed and the direction of your spaceship.
Yep.
And then you had another button to shoot at the rocks. And, you know, each screen, you start with more and more rocks.
Yep.
And you had the hyperspace button when you're in full-out panic and you're about ready to get crushed. So you hit hyperspace, and it would make your spaceship disappear and eventually come back somewhere else.
And you never know where you might kind of come back, like, right next to a boulder.
It could happen.
I remember in that game, you know, when you start out, you were stationary, and you could just spin around, and that was, like, a good spot to be because you could just, like, spin around and shoot the boulders, especially in the early rounds. What I remember about the game is, like, as soon as you hit thrust and you started moving, then you were moving, and there was no stopping you, and you could, like, if you, like, went off the, like, the left edge of the screen, you come back on the right edge, right?
Yep.
So,
and then they had the flying saucer that would come out,
and
it would shoot at you. They had the big one that was slower, and then they had, then every once in a while, this tiny one would come out, and that thing was flying and shooting all kinds of bullets at you.
And you could get major points for killing that thing, right?
Yep, and then there was an Asteroid 2, which was an upgrade because it was like a blue color, like a bluish color on a black screen. Same kind of game. I really, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what improvement they made or big difference, but Asteroid will always be my favorite, and that was a great one.
Good game. Very, very challenging, like I said, especially when you got that thing moving. Then you'd get into panic mode, but very good game.
Yeah, you're right. Sometimes when that little, you'd have one little rock out there, and then the little flying saucer would come out, and you would just be flying across that screen and just firing wildly and hoping to get out of there with your life.
Yep. Excellent.
Okay, so how do you listen to us? Well, you're listening to us now, so you know how to do that. But an easy way is just through the web. Go to anchor.fm/GK Musings. We are on the Apple Podcast, and you can contact us via email at gkmusings@yahoo.com. And George, you remember Paul Ferioso? We call him Wally. He came up to our Halloween party.
Yeah.
He I just wanted to send out best wishes to him. He just underwent surgery yesterday.
All right.
For to clear out some thyroid cancer.
Oh man.
And he is doing good. The surgery went well. And so I just wanted to mention that, and that Paul, that we're thinking about you and we love you. And he is a listener to our show. So
well, all our best to you, Paul.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So, we will do another episode next week, and then we've got some big surprises coming up here in a couple of weeks for everybody.
Yes, indeed.
And we may even be on video so you can see how truly ugly we are.
they may never tune in again.
Right. Well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All but right. That was good, George. All those games, I wrote down the dates, and all my games dated from 76 to 81. And, you know, that made sense. I mean, I don't know how much time we wasted at the mall shop when we should have been doing something more productive.
Yeah. Way much more time than we should have, for sure.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Well, we survived. We're doing okay. All right, buddy. I love you, and you have a good evening, and I will talk to you soon.
Man. All right. See ya. Okay. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.